Well, I'm really thrilled, Brendan, that you sung that song about Shine, because today my husband said that was a great service, but I'm sorry we didn't sing about Shine. And I said, well, maybe it's too early because the vision's just come. We might have it tonight. So that was great that we sang that. And all week I've been singing... Pardon? Oh, sorry, I must have gone past us. Where were we? We must be getting old. All week I've been singing this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. But you see, we think it's a little light, but in Jesus Christ it's a big light, that he shines a big light in us and through us. And I was thinking, as we've been looking at the tragedy with all the floods in Queensland and then Cyclone Yassi, my son gave me the interpretation of that name, and there's been two different interpretations. One is negative, one's very positive. But whatever, it doesn't matter. The fact is that it comes and it's part of the cycle of life. And we prayed powerfully here the other night at a leaders' meeting about Cyclone Yassi, and then I found out that there were people gathering hands and standing on the shoreline, and that they were praying. And you see, our prayers were answered because they were saying that the momentum of that cyclone was building where it normally starts to decrease as it hits land. But just prior to hitting the shoreline, because I was up all night praying and standing, not just with our family, but with those in other places, I was really feeling for people that had already been devastated in an earlier cyclone. But they said that as it got to about 10 kilometres off land, it started to break down. It started to lose its fierce momentum. And it was like very, very powerful because, excuse me, the Lord had reminded me earlier that week in a dream, and then I woke up singing, Master, the tempest is raging, the billows are tossing nigh. Carest thou not that we perish? Why should thou lie asleep? But you see, Jesus is not asleep. He is with us, and that he quietens the storm. And as we prayed that, and then Elder Gary had a scripture reading which fulfilled that Jesus would quieten and settle that storm. But the other thing that got me was that, you know, we've been talking about light and darkness, and things were blacked out in many parts of Townsville and Cairns, and also particularly in Innisfail. And some of the people said that it was just, you know, so frightening, not just the noise but the darkness. They could feel the darkness around them. It was like smothering them. But once someone struck a match or lit a cigarette lighter or put on a torch, that light brought them comfort. It brought them hope. Not only that they could see, but just the mere fact of seeing a light. And then, as Gary and Robin said, the different parts of Townsville, you know, the lights all started to come on, and it was like people started to revive again and have some life in them. And you see, God speaking to us about that. And we heard this morning our pastor wonderfully, and I must say, Pastor Chris, you prepared that PowerPoint beautifully, as you always do. It was excellent. Very, very well done. And there's so much work goes in behind the scenes that people don't really see. But we're very grateful for that. But our pastor laid out our vision for us, spoke about the vision. There's been a lot of material that has been made, and then spoke about our theme for the year, which is Shine. And that's all very wonderful. It's really great to see that. But you see, we need to know where we fit into that. And as Pastor Chris even said this morning as he prayed about, you know, we can get excited and it can become an emotional thing. But Jesus is talking about doing a deeper work. Like the word I gave Vince, he wants us to rip. He wants to rip us open so that his spirit comes forth and the flesh disintegrates. And you see, we get very excited sometimes when we hear visions, when we come together, and it is exciting. We all love to get something. We all got our little goodie bag with our papers in it and everything. But what are you going to do with those things? And I challenge you I know people, I know myself how determined I have to be in the Lord and how stable and how I must do things when I think of them, not put it off to later. because we know that we've been hearing and preparing and many of us praying for this first fruits offering. But I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up. But how many people did really put that envelope on their fridge? How many really did prepare weeks before rather than just suddenly think about it? All right, it's great and it's wonderful people gave, don't get me wrong. But you see, it can be the same with our vision today. We can get all those pieces of paper which have beautiful things, they're written with the Word of God, and we can take them home and put that little bag in a corner and forget about it. But you see, what we are, a Pentecostal church, grow church, we're called to be an apostolic centre, and we are to have those things written in our hearts. That's what the Spirit of God wants to do. You see, we must know, we can have to know who we are, where we are, and where we're going. And you see, God's given us a vision for the church, and that's awesome. But the first vision we need to have is for ourselves. We cannot accomplish anything for God if we don't know who we are, if we do not have a vision for ourselves. And I was thinking over these last weeks about when I first got saved, and I was only a young girl and very broken, but God already laid a vision in my heart, and that was to know him, this one that had brought this love and this hope to me with every ounce of my being. And I can tell you now that that was tested, because I was belted a week later within an inch of my life, literally. But you see, that vision and that desire and that hope was so great that nothing would break it. And I only say that because any vision we have is going to be tested. And God is calling each one of us to have a personal goal and a personal vision. And then when John asked me to marry him, because I was terrified, but I said yes. And then, of course, my vision and my goal was to be the best wife. And that was going to be easy because I was going to get out of this struggle that I was in at my home, and I was going to move off to this young man who'd been raised properly, and he had all the answers, of course, so we were just going to live happily ever after. But you see, it didn't work like that. Praise God, we still lived happily, but there were a lot of struggles in that. And the same as I wanted to be the best mother, but there were struggles in that. But the thing I'm trying to get at is the commitment to the goal was there. The commitment to the vision. And I knew the one who had the answer to those things was my Lord. And you see, if we want to know who we are, where we are and why we are, then we must be aware of what God is saying to us. We need to be aware and have an understanding of where we are at. Not where we think we are, but where we are as we allow God to examine our heart. And we need to know where we're going or where we desire to go. And it says in 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from sin. And you see, that's the answer. If you want your light to shine, if you want to fulfill the vision, then you must walk in the light. You must walk close to Christ. And I found that when I was saved, God gave me a scripture in Isaiah 43:1, and it says, you know, fear not, for I've called you and I've redeemed you and I've called you by name. I've created you. And then further down it said, when you walk through the waters, they will not overflow you. And when you walk in the fire, it will not consume you. Now, I didn't understand that. But you see, God was saying to me, well, I can stand and testify now that I have walked through many waters and I've walked through many fires, not literal fires, but struggles and pain and heartache. But you see, I didn't fear because I knew he was with me. And I held on to that hope and that goal that I was going to remain in him. And that's what each of us have to have. You see, if we want to fulfill this a vision we have, this shine, if we want to fulfill the vision in this church, we need to fulfill the vision that God has called upon us. Now, we're going along Saturday, we're heading off to Mansfield. Now, we know where we're going because we've been there before. We're back a week and then we're off to Tyab. Now, we've not been to Tyab before. And so John has been plotting out and working out how we're going, what time we're leaving, how long it's going to take. And, of course, when we get there, it's all new and unknown. We don't know where the house is. We don't know where the church is. So we have to have a plan. And you see, we set off with that plan in view and we'll reach our destination. And you see, that's what our life is like. We need to have a plan, but not a great long-term plan only. We need to have a daily plan that when we get up in the morning, we need to prepare. You see, when you get up in the morning and you go to work or you get up to go shopping or wherever, you don't just get up and walk out in your pajamas. You get up and you have a shower and you prepare, don't you? And you put your clothes on and you do whatever you've got to do and then you lay out what you're going to do for the day. Do we do that spiritually? Do we think about that? And that's what God's calling us to have a plan. What do you want your day to be like? Men, when you leave for work in the morning, how do you want to leave? Ladies, how do you want to send your husbands off? How do you want to receive them when they come home at night? What sort of homes do you want for your children to be in? They are the goals and the visions that we must have, because if we don't have those things in our own personal lives, we'll struggle to bring them here. We'll start off gung-ho at the beginning of the year. It's all terrific and we made all these resolutions and we're all excited about the prospect and the things that might happen. But what about when things go wrong? What about when things go wrong? You know, the Lord's been showing me more and more to share with people that you cannot have a new beginning unless you close the door on the old. When we come out ready, we've done everything we need to do. We close the door, don't we? Now, we know it's our home, we're going to come back, but we can't keep lingering on in there. We've got to step out. And so we know there are many things that happened to us yesterday or last week or whatever, and those things may have affected us. Some of them are good or some of them are bad, but we can't linger there. The Lord wants us to move forward. You cannot have a future unless you let go of your past. Take from it with you what is good, but leave the rest in Jesus. But we tend to keep dragging on, don't we? Dragging on into the future. And then we say, oh, resolutions don't work. What they told me doesn't work. Well, it's not up to others. It's up to me. It's up to you. We need to believe. As we sang, I believe, I believe. Anything, nothing is impossible with God, but everything is possible. It's not what I feel, it's not what I see, but it's what the Lord Jesus Christ says. It says in Philippians 3:15-16, so let's keep focused on the goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us, if any of you have something else in your mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. Let's stay focused. And so that's what God is calling us to do. And you know, we get so caught up, don't we, with all of the issues of life. But it's very important that we understand that every choice you make has an eternal consequence. So you'd better choose wisely. We need to think about what we choose. We need to think about the direction we're going. We need to think about the vision, not that we want, but that God is laying before us. We need to ponder it. We need to think about it. Peter warns us that since everything around us is going to melt away, what holy, godly lives you should be living now. And so this light is shining because the Spirit of God is within us. Spiritual growth is not automatic. It has to be an intentional commitment. Are you intentional about your growth, or do you just sail along from day to day and thank God that He's with you? Of course, He's faithful and He's with you. But so many people have just the outer extremities of what God wants to bring and they don't enter in. Particularly some of you young people, you've got so much today that we didn't have. Not only in modern cons and things like that, but you have so much of the Word of God that is just being poured forth, and the Spirit of God is here to stir your heart to that truth. Don't waste your years. Grasp on to everything that God has for you. Let Jesus shape your life each day with that commitment. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I led communion, and God had laid on my heart, and I shared it, but I'm going to share it again because God's brought it to me again this week that, you know, as I shared, that I have floaties in my eye, and they're just little things that float around, and then nothing to worry about. And I just don't see them. They're tiny little round things. Some people have feathery things, but mine are round just to be different. But I don't even notice them. But one morning I woke up and I was thanking God for a good night's sleep. And I looked up at the ceiling, and as I looked up, I saw this thing floating. And so I started to focus on it and look at it and try to keep it still. I play all these games. I'm a bit of a character. But anyway, I tried to get it to stay still. Well, it didn't stay exactly still. But you know, the thought came to me, God said, that's what life's like. If you focus on that tiny little thing that can, no one else can see it but you, but you won't see anything else. And then later on that day, I went out and I was tidying up and doing something in the dining room, and not too many weeks earlier I'd cleaned the dining room window, and when I looked, some bird had come along and left some unwanted business on the window. And the same thing, and it's a big window, our dining room, and I love to sit there and look out and see the trees. And you see, I focused on this bird's business and I couldn't see anything else. But you see, Jesus said to me, don't focus on that. Look out, I'm the window. He's the window. He wants us to look out past those things, past the difficulties, to him and the vision and the purposes that he has for us. Otherwise, we focus on these other things and we lose it. It starts, instead of the world fading dim and Jesus becoming greater, Jesus becomes dim. So what are you focused on? Are you really focused now on the goal? And we say, yes, we're focused on this goal, that we've, this vision we've been given today. But what about your own personal vision? What do you want in your life? What's your vision for the next even weeks? Do you want a better relationship with your husband? Do you want a better relationship with your wife? A better relationship with your children? A better relationship with your parents or your brothers and sisters? It's up to you. Pastor Chris said this morning, you will be as close to God as you choose to, and you will be as good as you choose to be. You will be as faithful as you choose. The choice is yours. What is your choice? What is your goal? What is your vision? I've been married 51 years, unbelievably, but I want more. I love every day with my husband. Yeah, there's challenges, and we don't always agree on things, and sometimes we can get passionate about something, passionately debating. But because we've set good standards and values, we work it through. And the thing is, we've learned to separate that we can discuss those things, but it doesn't hinder the relationship. And we've learned over the years to say, sorry, forgive me. Do you know that's something that Christians struggle with? We struggle with, I love you. We struggle with, forgive me. And you see, sometimes sorry isn't enough. It has to be forgive me, so that then we will know that we're forgiven. I don't know about you, but I want to be able to, my desire and my goal, and I live it, is that I can walk anywhere and speak to anybody. Now, they may not always answer me back. There could be people that I've trod on their toes, or and I've asked them to forgive me and they haven't, or whatever. But we shouldn't be walking around in our families and it may be our friends avoiding people. Now, it's not our responsibility what people do with that. But we are called to forgive. We are called to love unconditionally. Do you want to be the one that hinders that person coming to Christ or coming into the kingdom? And so we need to be able to look at people and smile. And you see, the brighter your light shines will be, the closer you are to Jesus, the more empowered you are by his Spirit. As I said before, great ideas start at the start of the year. If only we could follow them through. We need to ensure we move forward. No one can do it for you. It's up to you. It's up to me. And we constantly look at our problems. Time for perspective shift. There is never a problem. They are just obstacles preventing your forward movement. But Jesus said, I've come to overcome the world. I've come to overcome those obstacles. He's already overcome them. No matter how big they seem to you, it's the choice you make to believe that. It's a choice you make to see that. It's almost like some things can seem so huge, but if we just walk through in faith, they become like cardboard and they fall over. Or like that mountain that just goes into the sea. The storms of life are on the way to destination. There are struggles, there are storms. They're already waiting for you because we know we have an adversary who's out there stirring things up, and sometimes we make things for ourselves. We make difficult situations for ourselves. But they're there, but they are not the destination itself. We need to keep our eyes on the destination, not the storm. Keep your eye on the vision, no matter what. Storms come and storms go, but our response determines who we are. Consider how your response will affect those around you before you act, so that you don't become a collision area for them. So it's so important that we understand what God is doing in our lives and what He desires to do, and that we work individually on our own mission, our own vision, our own light. I will share this, and as I say, it's a fact statement, and you can take it as you like, and it doesn't mean that I'm perfect. It means that I am human, but that I seek a wonderful God and trust Him and desire for Him to work in my life. And I'll tell you the full story so you get the understanding. We went away for 3 days, and John, as he usually does, we went and stayed at this lovely caravan place, and he straight off goes out and surveys the situation. He likes to know exactly where he's at and what's there. And so I was sitting back in the caravan reading, and he came up and he said to me, there's a lovely heated pool up there. So straight away I'm thinking, oh, I haven't worn my bathers for ages. I don't want to go. So anyway, he went down in the morning and he came back and he said, look, there's no one down there. Come down. And I'd taken my bathers out of obedience to him. So I put the bathers on and then got dressed over the top of them. And down I went to this pool. Well, when I got there were quite a few people in the water. And I'm thinking, oh, dear. But what I've missed out is that I prayed. I prayed that God would take the centre of my thoughts away from myself, that I would not become self-centred and think that people were looking at my white legs and everything else, and that I had as much right to get into that water as anybody else, and I needed the water. And also, I didn't want to disappoint my husband. So in that prayerful attitude, off I went. And so I went down, and we're laughing and talking on the way down there. And when we got there, of course, as soon as John sees water, he's like a fish, he's into the water. And thankfully, there was a rail along the side. So I very gingerly dropped off the clothes and walked over. And as I'm walking over, there was this lady in the middle of the pool, and her eyes were focused right on me. John will bear this out. And as I walked to the pool, she started to come over right to where, well, I'd hardly got in the water and she was on to me. And it was this session talking, so I just sort of moved around in the water. And it was just a general talk, but I saw a need in that woman's heart. And it ended up she added her tears to the pool. And so I ended up sharing with her about Christ and praying with her. And so while I did, there was another lady, a young woman, down the other end, and she must have been watching. And the next minute she was up, and it was like she was trying to push in. And so, John said to me later, oh, your light was certainly shining. But you see, everywhere we go, we are to be available. We need to be available to people. And sort of once, many years ago, I used to think, oh, you know, I've come on a holiday, I don't want that. But the Lord spoke to me very, very clearly. And He said to me, when you make other people's problems your problems, God will take care of yours in turn. And so when God has laid a vision on our heart, when God has laid a purpose, we must live to that. And that doesn't mean just living to it when you're here in church. It means wherever you go, God is going to use you. The only thing I objected to John came over and I introduced him to this other lady, and it was another long session. And then he swam off, and as he did, this man started to come right down the middle of the pool with his eyes focused, and I thought, no. So I called John over and we both just said, hello, how are you? Now, I don't know whether he was intrigued because I was talking to these women or not. But the thing is that we have to be available. And God doesn't take from us in that. He gives to us. It's such a blessing. Not only did the water make me feel wonderful, but I was thrilled that I had an encounter with two ladies that really needed to hear what there was to say. They really needed hope in their lives. But remember, we can't outgive God. There's nothing that we can do that will tire us, that God will not replenish that. Just remember, when you make other people's problems, and that doesn't mean you bear them, but when you enter in, when you allow them to enter into your life, God looks after you and he looks after your life. So it's very, very powerful if we think about it. But you see, Jesus Christ himself came with a purpose. We know that. He came with a vision, and it was no matter what happened along the way, he touched people, he healed people, he loved people, but he came to go to the cross. And that vision of the cross was always before him, the Word of God says. He had that in his mind, he had that in his heart, that he was here for a purpose. We are here for a purpose. God gives us wonderful things along the way, great blessings to enjoy. John and I said this morning as we were coming, what a joy to know that over those years and the struggles and the trials, that we can praise God that each of our children and our grandchildren would be heading off to church just as we were and standing and praising God. Now that's, we have tried and struggled in ourselves to be obedient, but that is God's grace. But you see, God says, if you honour me, I will honour you. God says, if you take my word literally, if you believe my word, if you breathe it in and out like breathing, I will be faithful. Because you see, what destination we were about was God's will. It's God's will that your families grow in him. It's God's will that your marriage prospers. It's God's will that a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they will become one flesh. Now, there's a lot of struggles in that becoming one flesh, but if we honour God, that's what takes place. And then the children grow up and they are nurtured in that love and that commitment, and God brings the blessing. God brings the blessing. If only we would forget the things of this world and centre on what he wants. Jesus Christ, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And that's part of our vision, part of our goal, to break out into this community. But I want you to ask yourselves tonight again, what are you taking when you leave here? What is the uppermost? What are you holding from yesterday that you need to let go? What is it that you're holding in your past that won't let you break forth? You see, we're touching the Spirit, but nowhere near what he wants us to do. He wants us to rip forward. He wants us to rip out. He wants us to be a Spirit-filled, focused people on him, that the angels in heaven will rejoice as we sing, and that we will hear them singing and praising God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have a sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring of the word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. And that's in 1 Peter 1:22 to 25. Just in closing, we had a funeral here on Friday. My husband conducted a funeral. And there were quite a lot of people here, and none of them believers. But you see, because the word was spoken sincerely, and because there was a challenge made, people really were touched. And you see, we take for granted, well, not always, we love our multi-purpose room, we love all of that, but we need to continue to pray and believe and see that God's favour is upon this church, that God's favour is upon this building, that just as we come in and laugh and share together, that His Spirit permeates this place. Look, there was hardly one of those people that came along and said, and these are big burly guys that drink and, you know, knock about, and they said, what a wonderful feeling. They didn't want to go. They didn't want to leave. And, of course, the challenge was given to many of them. And you see, it's not just the building. We're to have that effect on people. We are to have that effect. So my challenge to you tonight, I believe the Lord is saying that we need to have our goals set and have them fixed in our heart, declared to Jesus by His Spirit, that we will not waver, that we will not be tossed to and fro in our thoughts. We know the Word says in every wind of doctrine, but we can also be tossed to and fro with our emotions and our thoughts. We can think something different and we see God shows us that, and then tomorrow when it doesn't actually work out the way we want it to, we think something's failed. Well, no, it hasn't. We may have missed the mark or something may have shifted, but the Lord hasn't and His will for you hasn't. So we need to stand steadfast, immovable, always praising God, knowing that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think, according to His power, because it's His power that is working in you to bring you forth to your goal and your vision. So set your goals in your own life. Don't just let a day go by and think, I'm just here for another day. Make the days matter. And then see at the end of the week, at the end of the month, at the end of the year, how God has changed you, how things have fallen away. And let us shine brightly, that people, when they meet us, they are seeing something in us because they see Jesus. And the more you're with Him, the closer you are to Him, the more you will shine. We can sing, let it shine, let it shine. We can sing all these things, but unless it's embedded in our hearts, unless as we read that declaration and we claimed it as our own, unless we make it part of our lives, we won't shine. We might be happy-go-lucky people when things are going well, but you see, the greatest test of your walk with Christ, the greatest test of your shining is in the dark. It's in the dark when everything is around you is dark, when everything around you is a struggle, but this little light shines with hope and purpose and power. Father God, I just thank You for Your grace and Your love. I thank You for Your word, Lord, that You have imparted. I just thank You, Father, that You would bring Your word to the hearts of each person, not my words, Lord, but Yours. That You would bring, Lord God, a conviction upon every one of us, Lord God, to have our vision set, Lord. A vision that is immovable, because visions that You give us do not change. And Lord, You have a purpose for each one of us, and many of us here know that purpose. Others are still coming to terms with what it is. But Lord, I know from experience that it doesn't matter how small we feel, how uneducated, how much we don't know about things. If You lay a purpose, You will bring it into being. That You are over and above all things, that You are master, and that as You speak forth Your word, it is done. So may we be obedient children to love You, to honour You, and to seek You, Lord, with all of our hearts, that we might shine for You in every place that we go. In Jesus' precious name, amen.